Colossians. Most of you know we are preaching through Colossians, but I took a little bit of a break because the session has been thinking of how we can better, and this is something I keep hearing about how we can better fulfill the vision and mission of the church, and part of the vision and mission of the church has to do with growing God's people, discipling God's people, and that falls upon the shepherds those who labor under the shepherds in teaching and discipling, and so we have been thinking about how we might be better shepherds, and we were really using a very good book by one of the seminary professors at Westminster, who Andrew has taken some courses with, Dr. Tim Whitmer, and his book, which I'm going to need, has been very stimulating to help us to think about this, the shepherd leader. And one of the things he advises in there, which we agree is good, is to not begin this without a few messages to the congregation about what we're doing and why. And so that's where we are for a couple of weeks, and then we'll return to preaching on Paul's letter to the Colossians. Last week we talked about why we are where we are, if you remember, looking at the church and the fact that we have elders, and we trace it all the way back to the Old Testament, that God presented himself as the good shepherd, and he called his people sheep. And we talked about the fact that that's saying to us that we're needy, that we're prone to wonder, we are defenseless. That's what sheep are all about. And sheep need a shepherd to do things to keep them safe and to keep them under his obedient care. And we looked at that, and we looked at the shepherds like Moses and David, who actually were shepherds, and then were now shepherds of God's people, and how God was providing that. But they're sinners, and they failed in many ways, and God promised this good shepherd who was going to come, the perfect David, who would be the perfect shepherd, and the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, grew to become the Messiah and to become the shepherd of God's people, laying down his life for them. And then before he ascended, he talked to his apostles and he commissioned them to provide for the shepherding of his church. And he did that by having them have elders in every church. And throughout the history of the church, there's a long period of time in the Roman church where elders fell away and priests and bishops became unbiblical offices that would re-sacrifice Christ and hear confessions and not be connected with the people at all. And the Reformation restored that, specifically through Calvin and then John Knox in Scotland, which is our heritage, that we have churches. And we believe that there are to be a plurality of elders who are given the responsibility to shepherd the church. Well, today I wanted to talk more personally about our situation. Were you ever given a job description? Which of these job descriptions would you rather have? You open it up and it says, show up and do your work. You open the other one up and it says, arrive at 8 o'clock. At 1 minute after 8, open your drawer and get out your pen. At 2 minutes after 8, get a piece of paper. At 3 minutes after 8, minute by minute by minute till 5 o'clock. Which one would you rather have? Well, if you're me, you would rather have neither of them, right? You'd want to have a job description that is accurate and that it gives you the way they go. My daughter, when she moved to California and got her first job down in the Santa Cruz area, had a job description, and they didn't play by it, and she never knew what she was supposed to do, and she was so frustrated. She talked to her coworkers, and they all said, this is the way it is here. And she ended up quitting and getting a job with a Christian who owned an insurance agency where the job description was very clear and she knew what she was doing. That can be really frustrating. And I think today what I want to talk about is our elders and our job description as it's defined in the scriptures. I'm going to talk it in two terms, shepherding now and shepherding right now. Okay, that's how I'm going to deal with it, shepherding now and shepherding right now. And I'll explain what I mean by that as we think about what shepherds are supposed to do, and then how we, as your shepherds, want to do that right now and what we hope it looks like over time, okay? So, shepherding right now. Now, it said we learned that church elders are to be shepherds, but, you know, the word shepherd, it can be a noun or a verb. There are words like that. You can say, he's a shepherd, that's a noun. Or you can say, go and shepherd, and that's a verb, right? So, shepherding, it's not only something shepherds are, but it's something they do, and the question is, what are they to do? Now, God compares us as Christians to sheep. He calls us sheep. He tells the apostles, he told Peter, Jesus, when he met him after his resurrection, feed my sheep. What are the needs of real sheep? That's what we have to think about. And then how that should be done. I read from Psalm 78 these words about David, how God chose David and he took him out of the sheep pen where he was a shepherd. And he brought him to shepherd his people. And then he says that he shepherded them with integrity of heart. That has to do with that the inner attitude of why he's doing it. But then it says, with skillful hands he led them. With skillful hands he led them. So when David was called to shepherd God's people, having been a shepherd, he knew that sheep have needs. And if you're going to shepherd them properly, you have to do it skillfully, understanding their needs and understanding how to meet them. And so we, the elders of the church, we want to shepherd this church with skillful hands. And so Dr. Whitmer in his book divides up the needs of sheep into four. You can look at different books and there might be three, there might be five, but they cover the same thing. The four duties of a shepherd based upon the needs of a sheep are basically this. Know them, feed them, lead them, protect them. Okay? Know them, feed them, lead them, protect them. That's what shepherds do. Know them. John 10, 14 and 15. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. We're also to feed the sheep. I think of what's said in Ezekiel. God says he's going to send shepherds. And he says, I will tend them in a good pasture. And the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. And there they will lie down in good grazing land. And there they will feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. So our Lord says, if you're a good shepherd, you know your sheep. But if you're a good shepherd, you will take them to good pastures. You will take them to good grazing lands. And you will feed them in rich pastures. And we know when the scriptures talk about feeding, it's talking about teaching. It's talking about applying the word of God. He says that's something else we should do. Now the third thing that shepherds do is they protect the sheep. Sheep are pretty defenseless. You know, they don't have big claws and big teeth. They have very bad eyesight, so they tend to follow what's ever in front of them. There's an example given in the book of the fact that in some village, I don't know if it was in Ireland or Scotland, where one sheep went over a cliff and the other sheep went and went and went and all the herds in the whole town, there was 4,000 sheep laying at the bottom of the cliff. They just followed one another over because they follow whatever moves. And they need protection. And so we're told in Acts 20, when Paul is speaking to the elders, he says, keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And then he says, after I leave, savage wolves are going to come in among you and not spare the flock. And so he says to the elders, protect them. Do what's necessary to keep them from falling prey to false shepherds and false teachers. And that is a role of the shepherds of the church. Think of the teachings, the religions, the things going forth in our culture on the television every day. And think about people who just fall for it because they don't know anything. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and when I grew up before Vatican II, we weren't taught at all. And because we weren't taught at all, Roman Catholics were great prey to people from false religions who were coming and trying to teach them because they didn't know the truth. And so one of the ways that the flock is protected is by teaching the truth. They say that there are a million crooked sticks, but if you got one straight one, you can tell which ones are crooked. There's a million ways to be crooked, but only one way to be straight. And that's part of the work of the shepherds, is it not? And then there's the need to lead. Psalm 78:52. He brought his people out like a flock, and he led them like sheep through the desert. Now, leading sheep through the desert says something. It says that the sheep are vulnerable, the sheep will tend to get into trouble, and the desert is a dangerous place. I was watching a special the other day, some of those outdoor programs. This was in Pennsylvania. It was around here in the state parks. And they said, let's go looking for some rattlesnakes. And this guy is a rattlesnake expert. As he's going on, there's one. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been walking around woods in Pennsylvania for years. I never really thought about rattlesnakes, but they're in our woods in Pennsylvania. And you got to know where they are. To think about a desert with the scorpions and all of the prey for the sheep. And he says, therefore, you need to lead them. Now, I want to say this before I move to the second point. When you talk about leading, you're talking about authority. And that is not a good word in our culture today, authority. People don't like to hear it. We're in a postmodern world where they're saying the modern God was this God who was a hard hand and he demanded obedience. But we're in the postmodern world, and so therefore we have to nurture and encourage and get consensus, and that's the new way to do things. And that is a good way to do things, but it's not always the right way to do things, is it? Dr. Whitmer has a very good section in his book about New Testament authority and leadership and what's going on in our culture. And he cites Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Now, I don't care what age we're in. That verse hasn't changed. I mean, wise shepherds realize as the culture changes, you have to go about things differently, but ultimately, there's authority and there's submission to authority when decisions have to be made. And we've had in our culture the extremes. I've mentioned this before about the extremes of things like the shepherding movement. And that was a movement that was in the charismatic movement. So in the charismatic movement, they believed in getting divine revelation from God in words of knowledge. They believed in divine healing so that nobody should be sick, and if you are, you don't have enough faith. And these shepherds were given over their flocks this ultimate authority to lord it over them, and they had to come to their shepherds for permission to do anything. And if you come to a shepherd for permission to take a job or to move, and he gets a revelation from God that you shouldn't, well, then you ain't doing it. And if you come to him and say, I'm sick and it's getting worse, I need to go to the doctor, and he says, you're to claim healing. And you know, in that movement, people have died. I went to a Bible college where a professor, they had a speaker in who was a healer. And this professor actually had done some of his work at Princeton. He was not an ignorant man. At Princeton Seminary, he had taken some courses. He was a Wesleyan Holiness. That was the college. And this healer came in, and he had diabetes, and he went forward to be healed, and he was challenged to not take his diabetes, and he died. And there was a trial here in Allentown. And some of you may remember that. And, that's the type of influence that can be had over people. And that is wrong. That is wrong. No one in the church should have that kind of authority over you. But then we look at the other side of it. And Dr. Whitmer uses the emerging church as an example in there. And, you know, anybody can be a whipping boy for everything. There are things about the emerging church that are good, that they're seeing need to be changed in the way church is being done at this time. But there are also, in the worst expressions of it, a complete denial of the need of anyone who has any authority in the church. Everything's done by consensus. The problem is that how do the leaders rise to the top? And a lot of times, strong personalities, domineering people can rise to the top and lead who God has not really chosen to lead. And they're having to deal with that problem. One of the things that they're finding out is they talk about emerging leaders. And they're saying that because they know that you do need leadership. And so the worst expressions of it will just deny that's needed, and then you can have chaos. So on the one side, you have dictatorial authoritarianism. The other side, you can have social chaos. And I think that the scriptures call us the fact that God calls people to certain offices, and those offices carry a certain authority that to be expressed in a certain way. I wanted to, Doctor, just real quickly, Dr. Whitmer in his book just gives the biblical teaching about authority in the church and 5 points, and I'm not going to elaborate on them, but he says this: the scriptures teach all human authority is derived. It's given to us by God. The exercise of authority is designed to serve the well-being of those under the care of the person in authority and not the person in authority. Third, this authority is to be directed by God's word. No authority is to be exercised that's contrary to God's word. Fourth, all who hold derived authority are ultimately accountable to the one who gave them that authority, and the scriptures say that the elders of the church are going to have to give account to their Savior. And then he ends by saying, as all said, the flock is called to submit to the authority of the elders when it's called for biblically. And so, that's a little bit of a background about that. And so as we talk about, shepherding now, I think what we need to know is what are shepherds supposed to do and also how they're supposed to do it. They're not supposed to be dictators and authoritarian. They're not supposed to be nowhere. Somebody once said, if everybody's in authority, nobody's in authority, usually except the wrong person eventually. So just to keep that in mind as we think about that and being shepherds. Now, I also mentioned shepherding right now, and that means right now. That means we as elders would like to begin improve our shepherding of this congregation, and we'd like it to start in October. One of the things we're going to do is be sending each one of you a letter as well, explaining what we want to do. But shepherding right now. Now, Paul gives us a guiding principle in his ministry as to how to proceed. In Acts 20:20, remember Paul said this, "You know that I haven't hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house." Now, Dr. Whitmer picks up on that passage and makes a pretty good point. He calls it macro and micro shepherding, and that's one of those management terms. They use macro and micro and macroeconomics, microeconomics, the big picture, the small picture. But he talks about publicly, macro, the big picture, and house-to-house micro, so the small picture. The entire church as a whole, or the personal ministry of the elders among individual sheep. And we need to do both. So I just wanted to conclude this by talking about macro and micro, knowing and feeding and protecting and leading, a little bit of what we want to do. Now, macro and micro, knowing the sheep at Living Hope. Macro knowing. What we were challenged to do by Dr. Whitmer is something that you can get careless at, and that is identifying the sheep you're responsible to shepherd. I have a church role. And it's not one you put butter on and eat after the service. It's the names of the people on the church roll. The communicant and non-communicant members. And then we keep a roll of unbaptized children. And we keep, in other words, we want to keep a roll of people who are part of this church. Now, the no-brainer is if you're a member of this church, if you've joined this church, you're a sheep. And we're your shepherds. But what about the people who attend regularly but haven't joined and have said, this is my church, I want to go here, I'm not ready to join, this is where I give my tithe. Well, we look at it, we say, you're sheep, and we're your shepherd. Now, if you don't want that, tell us, because then we need to sit down and talk about that. Because of, if you have sheep among the sheep, but they don't want to be under the shepherd. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so, you know, these are some of the things that we may have to discuss. But so we sat down and we looked at it. We said, who are the sheep? And then we also thought, who are the straying sheep, those who came here but don't anymore? And we talked about the fact that we need a plan to be able to see if we can bring them back or what's going on. And so this was a challenge for us. I think there's been some repenting among us as elders in terms of doing our job. We were really challenged. So that's the one thing about knowing. Now, what about micro-knowing? Well, you know, God knows the number of hairs on our head, doesn't he? And Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The watchman opens the gate and they listen to his voice and he calls his sheep by name. Now, he knows them personally. And so what we were challenged to do is to say, here are the sheep. Here's how many there are in terms of family units. And there are four of us. And so we will divide them up and each of us will be responsible monthly for 1/4 of the sheep. It was sort of like an NFL draft. You know, we'd say, I would like to be, no, I think, I, you know, and we had some of that going on as we did this. But it was an exciting exercise as we thought about this, because we're starting to think about the sheep in a deeper and personal, more personable way. Now, what about macro and micro feeding? Well, the macro way to feed is to oversee the public ministry of the word. I mean, we are responsible for what is taught. We are responsible for what is disseminated in this church as God's word, what's appropriate and what isn't. And now we get into that authority thing again, don't we? You know, and we've been through some crises over this in the church about how people feel one way or other about how you do it. But all that aside, it needs to be done. Somebody has to be responsible for what is going to be taught in the church, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And so we realize that we have to take that seriously. But there's also a micro ministry of feeding the sheep. And that comes with the personal ministry of the word to the individual sheep. And that's why as we think about that, as each one of us has a flock and we interact with that flock monthly, how can we pray for you? But also, are there any needs or anything you're struggling with? And then we can, on a personal level, take the scriptures and say, what do the scriptures say? And give guidance. And the wonderful thing about being a shepherd over Christ's sheep is that every once in a while the sheep know more about it than the shepherd, and then they can instruct us as well as we go along. I say every once in a while. Sometimes it's more often than not, you know, right? But so that's another thing that we're thinking about. So we have macro and micro knowing and macro and micro feeding. And what about macro and micro leading of the sheep? Well, I think one of the things is determining the vision and the mission and the policies and the programs of the church. That's the big picture. And that's a challenge. And I'm being challenged all the time about that. And I think that one of the things that we as a session recognize is that there is an effective way to do this. And if you're going to have a vision and mission and policies and programs, they have to be made in light of the gift mix of the church, who God has given you as a church. There are churches that have lots of people who just have outreach gifts, and that's what they want to do. And there are churches that have lots of discipling gifts, or they have gifts that tend toward making worship more wonderful, and so a church usually doesn't have the same strength in all those areas. So if a church has very strong gifts to assist in worship and to assist in fellowship, then you have areas like discipleship or outreach that are weaker. And so we as elders have to figure where are we weak and where are we strong, and then how can we use our strengths to minister now, and then how can we challenge our weaknesses and grow in those weak areas so we minister better there. And that's something that all of us have to understand, because I'm getting the whip crap. We're not doing this. We're not, you know, cracking the whip on me about this or that, and I'm saying, okay, I hear you. But how should we do it? What are you doing? Well, I'm not, well, let me ask you, and then you find out in terms of the gift mix and where people are that you just don't impose things upon them, and all of a sudden they go out and do it effectively. And so we decided that we have to shepherd the people in such a way that we get to know you better and you get to know us better, and we develop these relationships out of which come the ability to be able to challenge you and you challenge us to minister better. And so that's part of it. You know, the micro aspect of leading is simply found in this verse, 1 Peter 5:3. Don't lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. This was a challenging chapter in Dr. Whitmer's book, where he said to us as elders, you will lead by your example. And then he said, how are you leading in your relationship to Christ? Are your people seeing a relationship with the Savior that's vibrant and that it's real and that it's humble and that you depend upon him? Are they seeing that the gospel is at the center of your life, not works righteousness or anything else, but that they see that the gospel is functioning in your heart? What about your example in your family? What kind of husband, what kind of father are you? What about the life and the ministry of this church? You think people should be at Sunday school and church on time? Are you here on time? You think people should tithe? Are you tithing? You think people should submit to authority? Do you submit to authority? This is a challenge for us as elders. So pray for us. Pray for us as we go through this exercise. And then the last thing is the macro and micro protecting of the sheep. You know, the big way that the sheep are protected has to do with what Paul said in Acts 20 to the Ephesian elders. He said, after I leave, savage wolves are going to come. They're not going to spare the flock. Even in the midst of you, among your own number, men are going to rise up and distort the truth. And then he says this, so be on guard. And remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. The public warning from the Word of God of the dangers of our culture, the dangers of our own hearts, the dangers of false religions among us. We need to do that. And I don't think the pulpit should be constantly negative. One of the ways that you warn people about falsehood is teach the truth. Because as I said, one straight stick is very effective to point out a million crooked ones. But if you have to describe every crooked one out there, you're never going to do it. And so one of the main ways is warning from the Word of God. Warning from the Word of God by saying, God is one. Christ is the Savior. There's no other way of salvation. The Bible is His Word. And just keep teaching those things. And it may include, and at times has, church discipline. When the Word of God isn't enough, and the approach of brothers and sisters to you isn't enough to cause you to repent of serious, repetitive sin. And then it needs to be told to the church. And then the elders get involved in that protecting of you to bring you to repentance. And if you won't repent, to protect the sheep from the leaven that can leaven the whole lump of the church. And then the micro protecting. Dr. Whitmer has a very good section in this where he talks about keeping the sheep from straying on a personal, local level by knowing them and observing them, following up on, if somebody isn't coming to church for a while, you know it because you're checking and seeing, are my sheep in attendance? And because what happens sometimes is, oh, somebody isn't here and nobody notices it for 2 or 3 months. And by the time you notice it and by the time you talk to them, they're gone and there's no bringing them back. And so we're even challenged by that, to come up with a way to be able to see if a sheep is straying, if a sheep is falling away. And we're called to do that. Well, it seems like a lot for the shepherd to do, doesn't it? And it seems like a lot for the sheep to follow. But we're not asking to do this for a shepherd who's off on vacation and he's delegating it to us. But we are asked to do this for the shepherd who also was a sheep, a spotless lamb, who laid down his life for the sins of we prone to wander sheep. And that's who we are to do this for. We have a job description. You could say, well, it's pretty vague, glorify me. But then we have a Holy Spirit who minute by minute dwells in us and leads us and guides us that we might serve him, that we might shepherd his sheep appropriately, and that his sheep might follow him as he leads us. Well, do you know this shepherd? Is he your Savior? I say if he is, you're saying, yes, I want this shepherding. But if you don't want it, then what did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. But those who don't hear my voice are not my sheep. And so I would ask you to even ask yourself, in your own attitude toward being shepherded by the shepherds, it may betray whether you're a sheep or whether you're a goat. Because as somebody once said, the way to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat is goat's butt. You're to have a shepherd. Yes, I know, but. Well, the shepherds say this, yeah, I know, but. And you take exception to everything the Lord says because you're not a sheep. May God bless us. Pray for us. Pray for your shepherds, because we really want to do this in a way that honors Christ and serves you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you that you give us shepherds. I thank you that we as elders have shepherds in the presbytery who oversee us, to whom we are accountable, and who love us and care for us. And we pray that you help us to do that of the sheep that you have given. And I pray for each one of us. We're all sheep. I pray for each one of us in this church that you would help us to hear the voice of our shepherd and to follow. I pray that you would help us as shepherds to not be authoritarian and to not be weak and to not give up the authority you've given us when it is useful to be exerted. And Father, we ask that you help us to please you in all we do. And I pray once again for those among us who don't know the shepherd. I pray that they might realize that when he laid down his life for the sheep, if they will not trust him, they will one day have their life laid down and eternally go to a place called hell, which you call eternal death. Lord, turn their eyes to the Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to end with the singing of one of the versions of Psalm 23, that wonderful psalm. I think as we end this and we think about this, we ought not think so much about our shepherds locally in the church, myself and the elders, but let's think about the Good Shepherd, and let's think about all that he does for us and he's going to do through our shepherd. So let's sing together. Please stand. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff they comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. I think if the shepherding in this church is going to glorify the Lord, we really need to love one another and to grow in holiness. And that's what this benediction promises us, God's grace to do just that. So receive the Lord's benediction. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for everyone. And may he establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Amen.